It gives me a great pleasure to introduce my friend and colleague, Eileen Olmsted, who I know through our shared interest in Middle East peace. We are both members of Friends of Seville North America. And I think we both acquired that interest because we worked in Lebanon at different times. Eileen's husband was a professor at American University of Beirut, and she lived in Lebanon for 12 years. And while she was there, she started an organization called Americans for Justice in the Middle East that was still going strong when I came several years later and published a newsletter. Eileen moved to Pittsburgh about 10 years ago to be closer to her grandchildren and has been very active in various positions with the League of Women Voters. The League of Women Voters is one of several organizations, but perhaps the leading organization working to educate people about gerrymandering. This is a very important subject right now because there's a bill in the state legislature to reform the system by which political districts are drawn up. And I heard I've heard about Eileen's work with the League of Women Voters for a long time, but I actually went to this one of these demonstrations over the summer and learned a lot and contacted my congressman as a result who had written me back. So welcome, Eileen. If anybody has to leave early, we don't want you to leave without getting some literature and signing postcards to your elected representatives. So I think I'm going to put a couple of them over by the door. So take it over. Yes.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm really delighted to see so many give up part of their Sunday to listen to what I hope will not be too dry a presentation on gerrymandering. This is a problem that I've been aware of for many, many years because I lived in California for 30 years and moved from California here. So I was very aware of the problems California had, and also of the League's and Common Cause's big push to change California into a commission. And California has this system of you can put in a legislative petition. I'm blanking on the word they use. That the voters can put these in if they get enough signatures, and it doesn't require very many signatures. It can be very problematic at times, but sometimes it does. Propositions, that's the problem. It can be very problematic at times because almost anything can be put up to a vote, and lots of money gets involved, and so it can be. So it took us three different propositions over a space of 15 years to get it changed in California. Pennsylvania has a totally different system. It has to go through the Pennsylvania Constitution, and I'll tell you a little bit more of that later. The handouts that are on the table are a pamphlet that sort of summarizes our information, a sheet that compares the way it's being done now and the current way, and then the proposed way. So it outlines it pretty well. And then
distribute those.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'd rather you pick them up on the way out, because people get absorbed in trying to read. And then we have postcards. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that, because the third sheet that I'm putting out is a list of the Allegheny County members of the Assembly and of the Senate who have not yet signed on as co-sponsors of the thing. A lot of our local ones have, particularly the city of Pittsburgh, but some of the more outlying representatives, and there's a list with their addresses. And my recommendation is that you send it to your own legislator, and if he's not listed here or she's not listed here, it means that she's already on board, and you can send a postcard and say thank you for co-sponsoring, because they really like to hear from everybody. Most of the ones that have not
are Republicans, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. And they live, and they're the outlying districts, like Rick Saccone. I think he's out Elizabeth way, and so maybe none of you belong to those, but you can still send them postcards. I just wouldn't fill in the zip code. I would not. If you're sending to somebody who's not in your district, they look at this and they don't count people who don't live in their district, which is kind of ridiculous. But anyway, so just fill it in. The last two on this list are Daryl Metcalf and Mike Fulmer, and I'll tell you about them during my talk and why they're important. So, let's get started. This is a new doohickey for me, so I'm not sure if it's going to work. But so why should legislators choose their voters instead of voters choosing their legislators? And I just heard on NPR this morning that very same phrase. So why should we care about gerrymandering? Many of you probably know, but let me give you a few details. Here's the 7th District, which is a district that is on the east next to Philadelphia. And this is what it looked like 20 years ago. And so we have the ideal of contiguous, not crossing city or municipality lines. Then 10 years later, it looked like that, which isn't too bad. Then something happened, and it looked like that. And then it went back, but it's starting to poke out at the edges. That's the 99th Congress. There it is, the 103rd Congress. And this is what it looks like today. It went from that to that. So that's the same one. Is this kind of goofy? We think it is. Yeah. It's Goofy Kicking Donald. So who's at fault in gerrymandering? Actually, both parties are at fault. And the League and Fair Districts tries to be as completely nonpartisan as we can. We have no favor. Our personal opinion may be one thing, but as organizations, we do not take sides, and we do not deal in partisan politics. So I'd like to show you, for instance, the 4th Congressional District in Illinois. And here is the North Carolina 12th Congressional District. That one looks almost as bad as the one near Philadelphia. So who did the Illinois? The Democrats. Who did the North Carolina Congressional? The Republicans. So it depends on who's power in the state legislature. Here's Florida. The 5th Congressional, and here's Maryland, the 3rd Congressional. That one really looks like Goofy Kicking. And the Florida one was done by the Republicans, and the Maryland one is done by the Democrats. Maryland is one of the most gerrymandered states, and the Democrats are in power. So what are we going to talk about today? The problem of gerrymandering, how it distorts districts, which I think you already know. The difference between reapportionment and redistricting. People use those two words interchangeably, and they actually don't mean the same thing at all. Why is Pennsylvania a target for all of this information? Partly because we are one of the most gerrymandered states in the entire country. I've heard we're number one, but we're no lower than number three. So how can we fix it? Through Fair Districts ideas, and what are their legislative priorities? Senate Bill 22 and House Bill 722, we'll talk more about that, and how you, every one of you, can take action. So what is gerrymandering? Gerrymandering is to draw districts in such a way that they're going to favor one legislator over another, or one party over another. It's really more in terms of the parties. It was named in 1812, so we know this habit has been around for a long time. It's not something new. For Eldridge Gerry, who was the governor of Massachusetts at the time, and he was a Democrat, and his party had controlled the legislative district, so a newspaper posted this cartoon and compared the district, which is this, oh, yeah. Okay, this is new to me, so we're going to... So that's the actual district, and that's what was compared to a salamander and called a gerrymander. And you can see why. So there are various ways that a party can gerrymander. One of them, which is the more traditional one, and I think the one that has prevailed up until about 20 years ago, is called the sweetheart or partisan handshake. That is, the two parties get together and divvy everything up to suit them. And so there's some agreement as to how it's done. So here is a sweetheart deal. You can see, you know, all of the reds are in nice, there's more reds, and here's all the blues, and they kind of equal each other, and they divide into three districts with an equal number of Democrats, no, shouldn't say Democrats, parties. Oh, I'm sorry. That first slide is the equal number of people, but this is how a partisan handshake would look. So all the reds, most of the reds are in one section, most of the blues are in another, and then the rest are scattering of reds and blues plus independents. And they're all put into a third district, so they don't really count much because there's no majority. But that's called a sweetheart deal. So another way of doing it is what we call cracking. So here's the same three groups, and here's them cracked. So the reds, in this case, have been given two nice districts with a majority. The blues only get one district with a majority, and then the rest of the blues are split up. So that one is under red control. That's cracked. The other one is packed, and it's similar to cracking, but it's more concentrating votes in one party or another. So here are all the reds, or most of the reds, put into one district, and then blue majorities in two districts. So now we have two districts that are blue and one that is red. But these are called extra voters, because it doesn't matter how many reds there are. If they only have one district, they're not ever going to be able to sway between the three. They'll always come out low. So how does that affect us as voters? Well, as we've seen in the last 15 years, extremists dominate the parties because they're the ones who vote in the primaries. And since the primaries are in gerrymandered districts, the extremists in those primaries tend to select the candidates. Legislators, on the other hand, are worried about these extremists. So they try to toe the line and appear as whatever end of the extremes they are, they appear to fit into that category because they're worried about being primaried by somebody who is further to the left or further to the right than I am. A classic example is the Speaker of the House a few years ago, who was very conservative. In fact, he was the head of the sort of Tea Party movement. He was from Virginia, blanking on his name, and he went on his primary, and he was beaten by an unknown person who was much to the right of him, and that was difficult to beat. So he lost his speakership. He was the Speaker of the House.
Eric Cantor.
Eric Cantor, sorry, thank you. I don't remember the name of the guy who defeated him, but that's one of the reasons why legislators try to go along and make as few waves as possible.
Right.
And it also results in the power being led in the party leadership. We talked to one legislator a few weeks ago, I won't mention his name, and he told me that he was almost done out of his district after being told by his party leader that he was going to be all right. So it's the party leaders now that decide where the districts are drawn. And indeed, he was partied out. He was districted out of his own district. He went and complained about this, and they, quote, fixed it. Parties may neglect effective governance. They can't do effective governance. When you have a small cohort tying everybody up, moderate voters feel legislators don't listen to them. We've all had that experience. So the end result is voter apathy. Democracy loses. I don't know how often I have heard, when I've tried to talk about registering to vote or something like that, people say it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
My vote doesn't count. They don't know why. They don't necessarily know it's gerrymandering. All they know is that their point of view is not reflected.
I heard a TED talk, and it was about somebody that was in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's no longer there. But anyhow, he talked about he was a Republican and managed to win in a Democratic district. And, of course, the Republicans were thrilled. So they then gerrymandered his district, and he was very upset himself because he was from the city. And a lot of his gerrymandering was rural, and he didn't know what the things were for the rural. So even the person who was elected was upset about it, too, because he couldn't talk to the people. He didn't know their issues. He wasn't truly from that area, because
right.
That's not where he was
and
from.
And that happens very much so here in Allegheny County. We have districts that are going across municipal lines and go into the rural areas, and the legislator lives over here. He doesn't even know the issues of what's going on
right.
over there.
And this legislator knew it and eventually went out of House of Representatives because he was very upset with that.
Well, I think over the years you'll see that people have been upset, including President Reagan, who said in 1991, the problem is gerrymandering, the practice of rigging. Listen to the words he uses. The boundaries of congressional districts, the greatest single blot on the integrity of our nation's electoral system. Gerrymandered districts are grotesque, misshapen symbols of political chicanery. I believe states should set up bipartisan citizen commissions to draw district lines. Ronald Reagan in 1991. He may have been talking about the Democrats at that point.
He
who
was.
Knows?
Yes, he was.
So, what is reapportionment? Reapportionment is the number of seats that are allotted to in Congress. 435 was set by law in 1911, so we can't increase the number of representatives we have. So every time there's a census, every 10 years, the population is divided up into 435 districts. So some districts are going to move out of state, so we lose districts or we gain districts depending upon population. And guess where states are gaining?
In the south and west.
Southwest, in the Sun Belt, for one. So House seats are apportioned accordingly. Some gain, some lose. Each state gets at least one seat. I guess you can't go. The outcome in 2011 was this. So you'll see the orange states lost. So you can see that they're mostly up in the Northeast, and except for Louisiana, which is way down here. And I think that was because of Katrina.
Yeah.
And the blue states are the ones that have gained. And I don't know why Seattle, maybe because of Microsoft, but they have gained. So there is a definite geographical change. Redistricting is what happens after the census. every state has different rules for how they draw the districts. This is not controlled by the federal government, it's controlled by the state government. So we have some states that already have commissions, like Arizona, Iowa, and California that I know of for three. But most of the states have different methods of doing it. So after the census, then the legislators get together and decide. Redistricting for Congress is always necessary following changes in the number of seats due to reapportionment. That's per state. And redistricting for Congress and for state legislature may occur because of population shifts within the state. So there are two different methods for doing congressional leaders as opposed to state legislators. Our proposal would use the same method for both. At least in Pennsylvania, there are two different ways. Here is Iowa. Iowa went from five districts to four after the 210th census. Now remember, Iowa is nice and flat, and it's an almost square state. And so, you know, these are pretty evenly divided. Probably the highest population in the state is in number three, because it's the most concentrated. But that's five. And this is four, and it doesn't look very much different. And those white lines, the lines that you see, the white lines, those are counties. Their counties are square. So it's not difficult to do Iowa.
It's a land grant state.
Right. And they're all compact, contiguous, and along county lines. Redistricting done wrong, Pennsylvania. We lost 21 seats in 2001. We had 21 seats in 2001. We lost two in 2001, lost another one in 2011, and we're expected to lose at least one more after the next Senate. So we now have 18 seats. This is what it looked like. And this is what they looked like in before 2001, in 2001. You can see it's very small and I can't magnify it, but there's some gerrymandering, but not an awful lot. You have to really get down into the city, the Pittsburgh, Allegheny County, and the Philadelphia County to see the gerrymandering in those two areas. This is what happened to it after. Look at 12. Look at the shape of 12.
Is that the purple one? 12?
No, the white one.
White one.
Oh,
the white one.
And what's the purple in the middle?
That's this 14. One?
14 is
5.
That's right in the middle of the state.
No, the one in the what's in the middle of the white part? That's darker.
Oh, that's Pittsburgh.
That is Pittsburgh.
That's Pittsburgh.
Yes, 14.
That's Pittsburgh, which is mostly, I had more maps, but we were trying to cut down our presentation, so those are, you know, they're not as clear, but.
Is the goal that it's equal population?
Equal population, but in addition to that, they should be compact and contiguous and not cross municipalities or, well, in case of Congress, they're obviously going to cross municipalities, but. They try to keep them within county lines.
I have a question about 12 and 18.
Yeah.
12 being to the, it's that crazy hammer-shaped one.
Right.
Where is 18? That's Murphy's seat.
Oh, yeah, that's where it is.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The white one.
Is that the white? I mean, it looks to me like the white.
Yeah, the white one is. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, white is three different.
It's very gerrymandered.
Right, right.
It goes all the way from Ohio into.
Yeah.
12 goes all the way over to Ohio. That's
right. 12. Well, 12 is the most gerrymandered in this area, I think. But unfortunately, John is the one, my husband is the one who helps me with the slide, and he decided to take out the more detailed Allegheny County slides, so I can't show you. So let's look at the 2012 election. Actually, we have more Democratic voters in Pennsylvania than we have Republicans,
right, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that all the Democrats vote. So in the 2012 election, this was the division of voting, 2,794 Democrats and 2,710 Republicans voted.
That's two.
But guess what? The Republicans won 13 out of 18 seats, which with almost equal numbers on both sides. In fact, more Democrats voted than Republicans. So that's what I mean when I say wasted votes, because they were probably all bunched in. Now, some of that is inevitable, because big cities, everybody kind of knows that Pittsburgh and Philadelphia tend to be Democratic. But so part of that is going to be demographic. There's no helping with that. So does that seem fair? Republimander or Demomander? So this is the 21 results. Everything in red went to the Republicans, and the blue is the blue is Democrat. That's the way, in a larger way, how the districts were drawn. This is Mr. Leach is a member or was a member of the state senate. He took the exact same figures, numbers, and where people lived, and created his own possible. And so he said that this is the way the map ought to look. Much more blue. Now, whether he tried to be as fair as possible, I don't know whether some of that looks a little bit gerrymandered. But neither one of these is fair.
Why is the one on the right not fair?
Pardon me?
Why is it not fair?
Because some of the districts are the smaller districts are gerrymandered.
Okay.
And his 7th district, Dalen Leach's 7th district, is the one that's so gerrymandered.
Has been messed up.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not a member of the legislature anymore.
Oh, he's a wonderful state senator, Dalen Leach.
That was a congressional district that we showed you at the beginning.
Yeah, he ran for Congress before.
So,
and he's doing it
fairness
now.
Is not impartial. This is what a map might look if it was done in a nonpartisan way. So again, the blues would be concentrated down in the Philadelphia area and over here. The pinks would be most of rural Pennsylvania. And then the whites, which is 3 districts, would be a toss-up between the parties. So we would get 6 Democrats, 9 Republicans, and 3 could go either way, which is the way we want them. This isn't a real one. This is what you could do. And people have done maps. And, okay. Here, the Congress isn't the only problem. This is the state Senate. And if you look on these, 37 has a tail in Washington County. 45 has a tongue in Westmoreland County. And then we've got 42 that is shaped like a buffoon. It's shaped more like a monster.
Yeah.
There's legs and arms. I mean, why do they need to go in all of those different directions to make sure? And then 42, 43, and 45... are hopelessly entangled with each other. So they dig into each other the way they're drawn, and see 42 also goes across the rivers. There's one district that goes across both rivers. What drives this insanity? Okay, first we have the U.S. Constitution, which tells the states how congressional representatives are supposed to be chosen. And this is all it says. Time, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed by the legislature thereof. But Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations. So it leaves it completely up to the states, our U.S. Constitution. The Pennsylvania process is this. It's a legislative act. Majority party proposes the maps. Both houses vote, and the governor signs. And that's the end of that. And I'll show you how they decide on the maps in a minute. So for the PA legislature is a completely different process. And the PA Constitution does have the districts be equal in population, be compact as possible, be contiguous, not divide municipal boundaries, and allow for minority representation. That was added after the Voting Rights Act in the 1960s, I think, that the League was very big in helping. So they have more regulations, but they completely ignore them, as we've seen. Fair Districts believes that the districts also should be competitive, in addition to all of those, to keep government representative. In 2014, less than half of all the seats in the state legislature had an opponent, 104 out of 228 seats. So it's how it's done at this point. It's done by a state redistricting commission. And one commissioner is appointed by each legislative leader, or it's the legislative leader himself or herself. That means that the majority and the minority leaders of the PA State Senate and the majority and minority leaders of the House, four people. And then there's a fifth person that all the other four are supposed to agree on. Well, you can imagine the fights that go on. There's two Democrats and two Republicans sitting on this committee, and they're not going to agree on the fifth person. And they didn't. The last time, I think, redistricting was delayed about 18 months before they finally got a map, a year and a half after they should have had a map because of the fight. And who appoints the fifth if they can't agree? The Pennsylvania Supreme Court. So that's why the Supreme Court is considered so important in this, because they have the power to put in that fifth person, the fifth vote. So why is Pennsylvania so important in terms of the rest of the country? It's the second most populous swing state. By swing state, it means it can go either way. And we saw that it has almost equal number of Democrats and Republicans. And the largest swing state is Florida. And you know that during campaigns, particularly presidential campaigns, the candidates only visit the swing states. Everybody else is ignored because they're the ones that are important. So in addition to that, we lose congressional seats every time we have a census. So we have to redistrict every single time. And also, the population is shifting, requiring within-state reapportionment as well. In addition to that, we have very poor campaign finance laws, no disclosure requirements, no limits on PAC donations or lobbyists, and fundraised by outside groups. So a lot of money comes pouring into Pennsylvania around this time. Gerrymandering nowadays is easy. You can imagine what it was 150 years ago, a bunch of people over a map putting pins in or, arguing about borders. Now it's all on computers. They can, so it's easy to draw because mapping technology is automated. Data mining capabilities. They can identify within blocks where certain groups of people live and where certain voters live. And in Illinois, when former President Obama was running for, I think, the state Senate, they drew the boundaries right around his home so that he ended up in a different district from the one that he actually lived.
The only way they can identify us is because if we want to vote in any primaries, we have to, declare that we're a Republican or a Democrat. I would prefer not to do that, but they don't allow, because then I can't vote in primaries. I am, because it would stop a lot of this if you didn't put what party you were.
Right. And that is public information, as we all know.
But the point is if some states you can vote in other primaries,
my fellow league members, Carol, will tell you that the league is right now doing a study on election systems, and we've come to the exact same conclusion that you're seeing. To only favor two parties, the Republican and the Democrat, that means all the independent parties don't get a say, and all the people who don't want to declare a party don't get a say. And we don't think that's fair. We would like to see that change.
But it would stop having them do that, because if they have no idea what most of the people are, then they can't sit there.
They would be having trouble.
Why don't they just use the computer to draw the districts and not have politics or people involved?
Well,
because
politics is involved.
Yeah. That's exactly what the commission would do. That's exactly what the commission would do. They would use the same mapping technology and the same information, but they would draw the districts so that it would be easy. And it can be done. It can be done. It was done in the last election, and last one, by a young woman who was a piano teacher.
Right, right.
What was her name?
I can't remember her name.
She was in her mid-20s, and after she saw the maps, she said, I can do a better job than that.
And
she did. And the maps actually went to the Supreme Court, because they were, you know, the Democrats immediately said, this isn't fair, we're going to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court Chief Justice cited her map. He didn't say, okay, we're going to use her map, but he cited it as something that they could have done themselves. So he sent it back, and they tweaked it a little bit, enough to satisfy the Supreme Court, and so it passed, even the one we saw, which was still very gerrymandered. So you can imagine what it was before. Undisclosed outside money, so it's easy to finance efforts. This is a map that my husband found, and it looks at each of these splotches is a different description of people. So this one says unemployed steel workers. This is Allegheny County. So this is where all the unemployed steel workers live. Here are the people of the yachts. North, and here are people down in the south called rich white people. Hipsters and bros live here in Southside. And a lot of black people live over here on that side of the river. So, you know, I don't know if this was kind of a joke, but not entirely. I mean, that's how close. It's not just our voting information, Democrat or Republican. It's our spending habits. It's, you know, what neighborhood we live in. And that's all collected by every time you swipe your card at Giant Eagle or something. So who took advantage of this? The Republicans set up a project called Red Majority Project 2010. Red Map, it's called. And they picked up 21 new state legislative majorities.
Right.
21. I mean, that's almost half.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And they spent nearly $1 million in Pennsylvania and won 3 House races. Relaunched the project. They've already relaunched it as Red Map 2020. So they're hard at work making sure that the next districting. The Democrats, behind the eight ball, they didn't have anything in 2010. They've now set up something called Advantage 2020, and they're going to use the same tactic. So again, there's, you know, the parties have their own ways. Could a lawsuit fix this? There are several lawsuits. You may have read about it in the paper. The League of Women Voters has a lawsuit now before the Pennsylvania Supreme Court about gerrymandering, and there's one that's has gone to the National Supreme Court, which is Wisconsin, and some of Wisconsin's problems are very similar to Pennsylvania, so a lot is riding on the Supreme Court decision. Similar lawsuits are pending in Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Maryland, Democratic drawn. What we are, fair districts, a citizen organization coalition that believes elections should represent the will of the people, provide citizens with meaningful choices, and that's our email address, and that's our fairdistrictspa.com website. And I really urge you to go on that website. It's got a wealth of information. You have to do a little fool around with it, go to the different, you can even find out who your state, who your legislator is by clicking on links. So,
are those emails in the literature you're handing out, or do we need to write them
down?
I think,
yeah, right at the bottom of this. I'm sure it's in all of the literature. If you just put Fair Districts PA in Google, it'll pop up. So how do we fix this mess? Again, this is...
That looks like hard work.
I don't know what it is. So what we're proposing is to assign redistricting to an independent commission, ban government or party officials from being on this commission, establish transparency. Anybody can look at what's going on and follow the process. Require a strict time lapse, no 18 months to 2 years. And ensure public participation. Have lots of hearings and opportunities for the public to... It's daunting. So neither... appointing a nonpartisan, and it requires an amendment to the Pennsylvania Constitution, which is no easy task.
No.
The first thing is that we must pass the same law written exactly the same way in two consecutive sessions of the General Assembly with exactly the same wording. And after that, we have to bring it to the people, to the referendum. It would have to pass in the 2017-18 session, the one coming up, and again in 2019-2020, and so it could be placed on the ballot in 2020, 1 year before the actual redistricting is done. Yeah, it's a very tight, time is of the essence. Now, this brings us to what's going on now. We do have two bills, one in the House, 722, and one in the Senate, 22. We have almost half state people in the Assembly, Assembly members who have signed on as supporting it. 98 or 99, and 102 would be half of them. We don't have as many in the Senate, but the problem at this point is that these are in committee. And the committee on both sides of the aisle is called the State Legislative Committee. I think that's what the title is. State Government Committees. And this is, again, the power of individual legislators. This is copied from Congress, I believe. The chairmen of those committees are obviously going to be Republicans because that's who the ruling party is. They don't feel like moving it out of committee. It'll never get to the floor.
Would these amendments be for both federal and state?
Yes. So we're proposing that they do the redistricting exactly the same way for federal and for through a commission and, you know.
I thought that there was a process, a potential process, that actually didn't mean we'd have to change the Pennsylvania Constitution.
You're talking about Jay Costa's proposal.
Oh dear, am I?
Right.
Well, yes. Mr. Costa has refused to sign on to our proposal because he thinks it's too complicated and too hard to achieve. So he has proposed legislation to change the congressional only. Which you could change without. It's because of the state legislature way that we have to do it through the Pennsylvania legislature. But he thinks that we can just change the congressional district rules by passing something in the legislature.
When are the court cases coming down? Because some of the legislators are saying they want to wait to hear how these...
Yes. Yes. No, they want to wait because the League, which is involved in both of these projects, has sued the Pennsylvania legislature, the Pennsylvania state government, and the governor because of the lines drawn in 2010.
Right.
It's a little late, but we're finally getting around to it. We should have done it back in 20...
But when do those cases get
heard? The one in Pennsylvania, it's just starting to make its way up. They hope to expedite it. However, the state legislators who are telling you this are lying. They're using that as an excuse.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't talk about it because there's litigation going on.
Right.
We have consulted lawyers. We have consulted politicians. It should make no difference. There's suits going on all the time, like over education. And nobody's saying, oh, we can't talk about education because there's a suit out there.
Right.
The two are distinct. The suit is about current law, current districts and how they are being unfair to certain people. It has nothing to do with our proposals.
Right.
But they are saying that. So please, if you go or talk or receive a letter, send a letter back and saying what you're saying is not true. There's no reason why you shouldn't talk to us.
Eileen, what, 2 or 3 days ago, the Republicans in our state legislature asked the Supreme Court, not the state, the other Supreme Court, to hold up on their decisions?
I didn't read that.
It was like 2 or 3 or
well,
4 days
that
ago.
Well, probably because the decision for the and the Supreme Court of the country is about the Wisconsin thing.
Right.
And if they, depending on how they decide, it will, if they are in favor of the suit and agree that with the arguments that Wisconsin's are politically motivated and are unfair because of that, which is will be changing a precedent in the Supreme Court because they have never changed a plan for redistricting because it was proved to be too political. But what Wisconsin has is some bright people have come up with a new formula, which they call the, I think I have the word written, but it proves that it's unfair. It actually presents proof. So if that comes down favorably, that's definitely going to, because of packing primarily.
Well, they asked them to please hold it up until Pennsylvania, and I thought it was in the Commonwealth Court now, is it?
No, there are two different suits we're talking
yeah.
about. The case before the U.S. Supreme Court is the Wisconsin case.
No, I know that.
There's another suit being brought by the League of Women Voters
right.
against the state. And
yeah.
that's going up to the state Supreme Court.
Okay, it's not in Commonwealth Court now.
It may be, I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm not sure of the exact process, but we know that it's going to end up in the Supreme Court.
Right, and that's what I think it said in the paper about the Commonwealth.
Well, they can ask the judges to do anything. The judges don't have to listen to them.
Yeah.
Eileen, would you address the issue of the nonpartisan commission and how it is appointed?
Yes.
And how it can avoid the same politics
okay.
that we already have.
All right. It would create an independent redistricting commission of 11 members. I think California is 13. Four from a party of the largest voter registration. You notice it doesn't mention the names of any parties. Mm-hmm. Secondly, four from the party with the second largest voter registration, and three not affiliated with either of the above parties, so independents or libertarians or whatever. The commission's procedure would be drawing maps using a transparent process, hold public hearings, adopt the maps by majority approval, including at least one member of each group. So you couldn't get a majority by just the eight at the top. You have to have at least one voter from each group to vote. Any Pennsylvania citizen could challenge the maps in the Pennsylvania court. The legislature and the governor would not be allowed to be involved. The Senate bill was introduced in 2017, has partisan sponsorship, 13 out of 50, that's an old figure, I think we have, and it has been assigned to the Senate State Government Committee, which Senator Mike Fulmer is the chair of that committee, and I have seen letters from his office. We know that he's not doing it, and his excuse is the suit. Claims a pending legal case against the state is the reason. It's simply an excuse. That's Mr. Fulmer.
I have a question about that. So we're not in Fulmer's district.
No. In fact, we do not have a single member on the state Senate committee. We have some on the House committee, but not a single member from this part of the country is on the state Senate one.
Well, so if a whole bunch of people not in this district were to be contacting him and urging him to move along, that's my question.
What's it going
to
do?
Argument to use, and if you're going to write a letter or something, you can use this article that is ahead of this very important committee. He has an obligation to all the constituents in the state of Pennsylvania, not just to a small group who voted for him. And that, I mean, that's true of everybody, but more so for somebody who's a committee head. They have to represent everybody's opinion, try to represent everybody's
opinion. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I know it's very easy to be very discouraged about it, but on the other hand...
Apparently there is a... potential for something where I'm not sure what it's called, but if a certain number,
discharge petition.
A discharge petition, which means that members of the committee themselves, or is it members of anybody in the assembly or tenant? I'm not sure.
I think it's anybody.
Anybody, yeah. But they have to be elected to, the office, can write a petition to the Senate. And that apparently carries quite a bit of weight. For some reason or other, they're not pushing that at the moment, but it has been mentioned by...
And who would write that? Who would write a discharge petition?
It's called the discharge petition, and it would be a petition brought against or for the chairman of the committee by other senators and representatives.
Other senators.
Yeah, they have to be elected. Yeah. They have to have been elected. We, the people, can't do that.
No, it has to be the reps...
We don't have the Senate or the others.
There is a petition on the website that everybody can sign. I don't remember whether it's just a general petition or it's more specific, but there is a petition that you can sign on the online. Now, the assembly, the House bill...
Could you go back one? I just want to take one here.
Yeah.
Chuck Fulmer is the chair of...
Senate. Government committee.
Yeah.
Of the government committee.
Yeah. In both houses, In both houses, it's called there's a Senate State Government Committee and a House Government Committee.
Okay.
So the best we can do put on is on our representative to urge them to demand discharge.
That may be the next step. Mm-hmm. That may be the next step.
Because Fulmer doesn't have to listen to us.
No.
Even though, in theory, he is responsible to all of us.
Well, and this is the traditional role of the chairman. You see this in the state, in the National Senate all the time.
The same thing.
If a head of a committee doesn't want to bring it to the floor, it doesn't come to the floor. It's a real distortion of democratic process.
Earlier, you had a slide about the language in the Constitution.
Yes.
Stating that it's basically the state's affair, but there's a line in there about Congress.
About what?
About Congress.
They can change. They may put in stipulations if they so choose. The only stipulation I know of is the Voting Rights Act, which did address the issue of minorities getting representation. And so that's why the Pennsylvania... process does include that.
But is there work to get Congress to do something broader to address representation more broadly?
Well, the old argument between federal and state rights. This is a state right that was granted them by the Constitution, so it would take a lot of work to get Congress to change the way it's, to put in stipulations.
I must have missed it when you were talking about this commission that you said it's going to have so many Republicans, so many Democrats. How does it, it's not the government or any, who comes up with these people?
Okay.
I missed that.
It, Well, there, every little detail hasn't been worked out because they want the assembly, once the assembly agrees that this is a good idea, then they can put in specifications and the, but the general idea is to open it to anybody.
Right.
So 500 or 1,000 people could be,
put their names in as candidates.
Well, like the person who would make the final decision would be the Secretary of State, which many people have pointed out is a partisan office.
Right.
But he would have to go by way the law was, you know, agreed to. And these
so it's
people.
It's not like we're going to see these people on our ballot or something like that. It's going to be
no.
still the state
yeah.
itself
no.
is going to decide.
Well, it might, you know, it might. Who knows? I mean, the legislature can decide what exactly. What we're saying is this the bare minimum. And they can, and we want the Secretary of State, and the idea is that, you know, they would choose by, everybody would be vetted, and so they would look into everybody's background. They can't be related to somebody who's in office. They can't have worked for somebody who's in office for 5 years previous. They have to belong to the party and have voted in that party within 5 years. I mean, there are a bunch of stipulations.
Okay, that's what I was just trying to
say. And then from that, they, everybody would be vetted, and say 500 would be down to 300, and then they would divide those 300, I've heard this, divide them into 250 groups, and then draw lots. You know, so eventually you would get down to 11 people. It's been done in California very successfully. I don't know what exactly the process is, but it can be done. The argument has been, well, why would I want a bunch of people I don't know deciding? Why do you want a bunch of politicians deciding? I mean, it's worked in other states, so it can work here. Now, the House bill is 722, was introduced. It has, I think it's now up to 198. And guess who the chairman? Daryl Metcalf. Mr. Fulmer at least admits that he's getting postcards and that he's getting calls from people. Mr. Metcalf says, I don't see any problem. Nobody seems to care about this issue. He was the chair of the committee that passed the 2011 district.
Well, how can we document that he is getting calls and he is getting...
Well, there's postcards galore, and people come. People are reporting this to the people in fair districts. Oh, yeah, he's been talked to. There are two documents that I can send to anybody who's interested, if you put your email address on your sign-in sheet, that came out of Carol Cunningham. She wrote a letter to the state legislature officially about this thing of the...
Better say who she is.
Huh?
Who is Carol?
Carol Cunningham is a lead member on the state board who is actually the head of the fair districts.
Okay.
This is her. She's taken this on. It was she and Barry Kaufman of Common Cause, but Barry retired right after they launched this, and I don't think they've named a new director at this point. I mean, Common Cause is helping behind the scenes, but it's Carol and the league that are really taking the lead on this. So she's written a letter, and she's also done a press conference, and it outlines all the arguments about this business of the lawsuit and that it can't be used. You know, they know. They're just playing games. You know, they're just playing games.
I mean, it seems like if it were public, that, you know, we have documentation. He's saying this, but these many calls and postcards have been received.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of hard. I mean, they did a press release. So did you see the press release?
Yeah.
Newspapers have they'll publish a press release. There's actually, in the Post-Gazette, there have been four or five articles about gerrymandering. Rich Lord has done a good job. I don't think they've mentioned this issue of the committees. Or they may have mentioned the fact they're stuck in committees, but they haven't mentioned... We just had a convention in Harrisburg for anybody who was associated with fair districts. They were expecting about 250 people. They got 350 people. They didn't have enough food because people came even though they asked people to register and they just showed up in Harrisburg. It was a one-day thing. So you know, they are working very hard, and we have a tremendous team. But every one of you should now go to the website and sign up, because the more people, they can say we have 40,000 people, we have 50,000 people, we have 100,000 people who support us. That carries with it some clout. Okay, how can you help? Fight. Contact your legislature. Details and talking points are on the website. You can even just print out a letter and put your own name on it. Write a letter to the editor. That's a way of getting publicity, if they'll publish it for you. Links for submission and examples are available online. Help with local resolutions. Use our online form for information and support. The City Council has a resolution that they've already voted on a couple years ago, and I think we're trying to get them to update it. The County Council is going to vote on a resolution this coming Wednesday at 5 p.m., so we want as many people as possible to show up at the County Council room, which I guess I've never been there. It's in the same building.
Yeah.
To be there and say, we want you to do this. Contact your senator, contact your representative, tell them that redistricting reform is important, ask your senator to support, ask your representative to support, arrange for fair district presentation, like my friend Lila arranged for this one. So if each one of you belongs in, I'll come and talk to anybody. We have several speakers in this area, so if I can't make it, somebody else will. Each of our presentations reflects our own personality and viewpoint. So get resolutions. This is the City Council. I recognize a couple of people in that picture. Arlene Levy is in there. Seek endorsements. Professional associations, I don't know how well we've been doing with those. Rotary clubs, church groups. Have the church write a endorsement of this. BPEP is a member, Pennsylvania Council of Churches is a member, AAUW Pennsylvania is a member. Use social media, like and follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, share posts with your friends, join the conversation. Invite friends to events. We're planning something similar to what we did a couple of years ago again this year, but I don't know how far the plans. Join Fair Districts PA. We have a local organizing committee that plans local events and sort of keeps up. If any of you want to join that, let me know and I'll get you on the mailing list. There's also a county organizing group. The people who set up Fair Districts are incredible organizers. They really... It's just amazing. This is a fantastic source, and all of you can get a free copy if you go to your state legislator's office. They have piles of them. But you can also go online to Duquesne Light Company and look for Use Your Voice, and it's a PDF document. It downloads. It's a great little public service they do. It has the maps of the legislative representatives, senatorial, the congressional, and it has their addresses and phone numbers. Mm-hmm. So you can download it to your computer. You don't have to print it out. You just can leave it on your desktop and consult it when you need it. I consult it all the time. This one is this year's edition, and it just came out. Okay, these are the state senators who have not yet signed on. So if any of you are in Reschenfelter, Bulakovich, Jay Costa has gotten a lot of visits, and he's standing firm that he wants to present his, and he doesn't want to dilute his efforts. And we have told him, as far as I know, unofficially, okay, we believe that the whole system has to be changed. But if we don't succeed, we will support yours. Because he does want the congressional system to be changed.
But he wants the old five-person, two Democrats, two Republicans, and somebody, doesn't he?
I don't know. I haven't looked at his bill, to be honest.
When I read it, it would seem like it
But it's a commission. It's also a commission.
It's a commission rather than a...
Yeah. So, I don't know. Have you seen it? Have you seen one?
Yeah, a while ago.
And it's just the same? It's two legislators?
It looks uncomfortably familiar.
I'll have to be honest with you. I haven't looked at it.
Okay.
And these are the ones, these are the Democrats and the Republicans in the House that haven't, and so those are the district numbers.
There's another class.
Is Wheatley, is he still?
Wheatley is still on the fence, apparently.
Okay.
I noticed something.
Let me tell you why. I've interviewed Jake Wheatley, and
yeah.
As you all know, that he is a black man, African American, and very vocal and very active in his community, and the League does legislative interviews each year. And he was very direct about it. He is very concerned that redistricting will dilute the black vote.
Yeah.
And that's a major a concern that I think we all need to consider.
Yeah.
But that's his position and why he has felt unable
yeah.
to.
And that's what's
this.
Happened in North Carolina.
Exactly.
That's what happened in North Carolina.
But that wasn't done by a commission. That was done by the politicians.
That was done by the politicians.
So
who did do it?
It might dilute the black vote, but
that
I don't think.
That's his concern.
Yeah, well, but that's assuming that all blacks voted a block. So. Yeah, I can see that argument. I've heard that before.
I would think that I can't speak for Jake, but I wouldn't be surprised if he made that assumption.
Well, and
pretty much.
Jake Costa?
No, Jake.
Well, for Jake. Yes, I agree. However, I think the argument against any of the, and the Republicans have very similar arguments, is what do we prefer, a fair system? Or a system that skews things in one direction or another. What we want is a fair system.
Paul Costa doesn't surprise me.
If any of you are smartphone users, you can text and register. So that's the number you text, and that's the keyword you put in. I've never done that, but I was given this slide. And then... Stud Terkel said, heroes are not giant statues framed against a red sky. They're people who say, this is my community and it's my responsibility to make it better. And this is Maudwood Park, the first president of the League of Women Voters in the United States. The success of democracy doesn't depend on a few persons who do great things, but on many persons who do small things faithfully.
Yeah.
And that is the end.
Thank you.
I'm glad you asked questions while we went along. It did drag it on a little bit more, but any more questions? You are all already very knowledgeable about this, I can tell.
Are you in touch with PIN at all? Pennsylvania Interfaith Impact
Network?
Are
you in touch with them?
Oh, yeah, BPEP. No.
No.
PIN.
Yeah.
Yeah. PIN.
That's a big.
Yeah, Sue Broughton is very active.
She has been. I don't know if she still is. We have an actual member on their board. Stevens is very active with them, but I haven't seen any endorsement from them.
Well, I'll take some stuff with me to my meeting that I go to.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Eileen. Get your sandwich.
Don't run away and leave me alone here.
Oh, right. I don't have far to go.